This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How effective tension management directly impacts employee retention, morale, and productivity. Why how you handle workplace tension shapes everything that follows. In short, unresolved tension does not stay where you left it. It spreads. Poor tension management is one of the leading causes of voluntary employee departure, and most leaders never connect the two. The damage to morale is cumulative and invisible until it is severe, by which point repair is far harder than prevention would have been. Productivity losses from workplace tension are real, measurable in focus and output, and directly tied to how quickly and honestly tension is addressed. Definition: tension management is the deliberate practice of recognizing and addressing interpersonal friction, suppressed conflict, and relational stress in the workplace before they compound into lasting damage to trust, cohesion, and performance. Spend enough time around teams, and you learn to read a room, not from what people say, but from what they stop saying. The slight pause before someone answers. The careful neutrality in a voice that used to carry warmth. The way two colleagues no longer sit near each other at the table without anyone mentioning why. These are the signs of unmanaged tension, and they matter far more than most leaders realize. Tension management is not about preventing disagreement. Disagreement is healthy. It is about recognizing what happens when tension is left unaddressed and understanding the direct line between that inaction and the outcomes every organization cares about most, whether people stay, whether they feel good about being there, and whether they do their best work. By the end of this article, you will understand not just what to do about workplace tension, but why the whole thing works the way it does. That distinction changes everything. What unresolved tension is actually doing to your people. Most leaders understand that conflict is bad for morale. That is the surface reading, and it is correct as far as it goes. What it misses is the mechanism underneath the way unresolved tension functions as a continuous drain on the mental and emotional resources people need to do their jobs. When tension exists between colleagues and nobody addresses it, both people spend energy managing around it. They rehearse conversations before meetings. They choose words with unusual care. They monitor the room for signals about how the other person is feeling the day. All of that happens before a single task gets started. Here is the truth of it. This is not a personality problem or a professionalism problem. It is a cognitive one. The human mind is not built to hold interpersonal threat at bay and focus deeply at the same time. When people feel relationally unsafe, the part of the brain responsible for creative thinking, problem solving, and sustained attention works at a fraction of its capacity. You are not getting the full person. You're getting whatever is left over after the tension takes its share. That is a productivity loss that rarely shows up in any report because it is invisible. Nobody calls in sick with unresolved tension. The work gets done, mostly. But it gets done slower, with less care, with fewer of the ideas that only come when someone feels genuinely free to think. If you want to understand what psychological safety does for team performance, start here. Safety is not built by policy. It is built by how tension gets handled when it appears. The retention link that leaders consistently underestimate. People do not usually leave because of one bad day. They leave because of the accumulation of days when nothing got better and nobody seemed to notice or care. I've watched this pattern repeat itself across decades and across industries. A capable, committed employee begins to disengage. Their contributions become more cautious, more measured. They stop volunteering ideas in meetings. Their investment in the work visibly narrows. And then, one day, they hand in their notice, and their manager expresses genuine surprise. The tension was there the whole time. A difficult relationship with a peer that was never addressed. A public disagreement that was smoothed over without ever being resolved. A feedback conversation that went badly and was never repaired. Small fractures, left unattended, that spread across the foundation. The people most likely to leave under these conditions are your most capable ones. That is a painful but important truth. The employees with the most options exercise them first. What you are left with is the talent pool that had nowhere else to go. Understanding how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts fracturing team synergy gives you a practical framework for exactly these moments before they become departures. Why morale damage is cumulative and mostly silent. Morale is not a mood. It is a measure of how much people trust the place they work. That trust is built slowly and can be depleted surprisingly fast, and unmanaged tension is one of the most efficient ways to deplete it. When one person on a team is experiencing unaddressed tension, the effects rarely stay contained to that individual. Teams are relational systems. When friction exists between two colleagues, others feel it. They navigate around it. They form quiet alliances or careful neutralities. They lower their voices in certain company. The whole texture of a team changes. What makes this so damaging is that it rarely gets named. People do not say the morale here is suffering because nobody addressed the tension between those two. They say they feel tired, or that communication has been off lately, or that something just feels different. The cause stays invisible, even as the effects accumulate. Peer-to-peer feedback is one of the places where unmanaged tension surfaces most clearly. When the relational trust is gone, honest peer feedback disappears with it, and the team loses one of its most powerful growth tools. Where the damage becomes visible. Three situations that reveal the pattern. The team that stopped disagreeing. You're running a meeting. Proposals go around the table. People nod. Nobody pushes back. You leave thinking it went well, but nothing innovative came out of it, and two people who usually challenge each other said almost nothing. What happened is that a previous conflict, handled badly or not handled at all, taught the team that disagreement is not safe here. The silence in the meeting is not agreement. It is self-protection. Output suffers, and nobody ever links it to that unresolved conversation from 3 months ago. Learning how to handle conflict during meetings directly addresses this moment before the silence becomes the norm. The high performer who gets quiet. A strong employee, usually reliable and engaged, becomes notably quieter over a period of weeks. Their work is still fine, but the energy is different. When you ask if everything is all right, they say yes. They are not fine. There is tension somewhere, probably with a peer or with you, that has not been addressed. They are waiting to see if the situation improves on its own. It really does. Within another few months, they begin looking for other roles. The team restructure that reignites old conflict. Two people who had a difficult history are placed in closer working proximity following a restructure. The tension they had managed to avoid by keeping distance now has nowhere to go. If leadership does not create a clear moment to acknowledge the change and the history, the old friction resurfaces, often harder than before. Sustaining team cohesion during leadership transitions and restructuring requires, above all, attending to the relational ground people are standing on, not just the operational changes being made. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Why leaders miss the mechanism. There is a belief, widespread and persistent, that addressing tension is the same as creating conflict. Leaders who hold this belief genuinely think that naming the problem makes it worse. So they wait. They hope the situation resolves itself. They focus on the work and trust that professionalism will carry the day. It does not. Tension does not resolve by being ignored. It compounds. The root issue stays in place while the relational damage around it grows. The second reason leaders miss this is that they measure the wrong things. Output numbers, meeting attendance, project completion rates, these are like indicators. By the time they reflect the damage from unmanaged tension, the damage is already severe. The early signals are relational, and most leaders are not trained to read them. Running productive meetings depends on a team that trusts each other enough to be honest. When tension has eroded that trust, the meeting format does not help. The relational layer has to be addressed first. The third reason is more personal. Addressing tension requires courage. It means having a conversation that might go badly with someone who might react with defensiveness or hurt. Most people, including experienced leaders, find ways to avoid that discomfort. But the discomfort of avoidance compounds, while the discomfort of a direct conversation usually resolves. What good tension management actually looks like in practice. Addressing tension does not require a formal process or a mediator. It requires a decision to speak clearly and early, before the situation calcifies. The first thing effective tension management demands is speed. The longer tension sits unaddressed, the more meaning people assign to the silence. When a leader fails to acknowledge obvious friction, the team does not conclude that the leader is unaware. They conclude that the leader knows and does not care. That conclusion does far more damage than the original tension. The second thing it demands is directness without blame. There's a way to name tension that respects everyone in the room. It sounds like, I want to address something I have noticed because I think it is affecting how we are working together. That is not drama. That is the kind of honest leadership that builds the feedback culture every team needs to grow. The third thing is following through. A conversation that opens a wound without closing it does more damage than no conversation at all. When you address tension, you stay in it until something genuinely shifts. Not a forced resolution. An honest acknowledgement, a clear path forward, and a commitment to check in. Here is something worth carrying with you. People do not need their leaders to be perfect. They need them to be responsive. A leader who misses tension, but addresses it directly when it is named, earns far more trust than one who claims everything is fine while the team quietly fractures. The straightforward truth about what this costs and what it earns. Unmanaged tension has a price. You pay it in people who leave, in people who stay but disengage, and in the quality of work that a team under sustained relational stress is capable of producing. Those costs are real. They compound over time, and they are almost entirely preventable. What good tension management earns you is something simpler and more durable than any performance initiative. It earns trust. When people see that tension gets addressed here, that friction is not something to fear or hide. They invest more of themselves in the work. They disagree more honestly. They collaborate more fully. They stay longer. The ground beneath your team is either stable or it is shifting. Tension management is the practice that keeps it solid. Frequently asked questions. What is tension management in the workplace? Tension management is the practice of recognizing, addressing, and resolving interpersonal friction before it damages working relationships. It means dealing with disagreement, stress, and conflict directly and constructively, rather than allowing it to fester unaddressed beneath the surface of daily work. How does poor tension management affect employee retention? When tension goes unaddressed, people stop feeling safe at work. The most capable employees, those with the most options, leave first. Poor tension management signals that leadership either does not notice the problem or does not care, and neither message builds loyalty or commitment. Can tension management actually improve productivity? Yes, unresolved tension consumes cognitive and emotional energy that should go toward work. When people are managing internal conflict or walking on eggshells around a colleague, their output suffers. Addressing tension directly frees people to focus fully on the task in front of them. What is the difference between healthy tension and damaging conflict? Healthy tension is the friction that comes from people who care enough to disagree on ideas. Damaging conflict is what happens when personal friction, power imbalances, or suppressed grievances go unaddressed. The difference lies in whether the tension is acknowledged and worked through or left to compound silently. How should a leader respond when tension appears in their team? A leader should acknowledge the tension promptly, create a private space for the relevant people to speak honestly, and stay focused on the issue rather than the individuals. The goal is not to declare a winner. It is to restore enough trust and clarity for the team to keep working well together. Why do managers avoid addressing workplace tension? Most managers avoid it because they confuse addressing tension with creating conflict. They fear that naming the problem will make things worse. In practice, the opposite is true. Naming tension reduces its power. Leaving it unnamed allows it to grow into something far harder to resolve. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonbookthorne.com to get your copy.